All right, open your Bible, please, the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Find your place in the Word of God. I will read a scripture tonight and then bring the message from the Word of the Lord. Good to be here tonight. Good to be in the service. I appreciate the good singing already and all that the Lord's done. And I love one of my favorite songs. I have about 400. But one of my favorite songs is that song they sing in early in the beginning. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I used to know a man, and we became friends, and I got to know him better, who had a very deep bass voice. I mean, he was sought after to sing bass with a lot of different quartets, and he sang that as a solo. And, Brother Steve, I sure wish I could get down there low enough to bellow it out like he did. I'm telling you, it thrilled me. It's just a boy. I was just a young boy. After I grew up, and then we worked together, and we've become good friends. He's gone to heaven now. But no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Did I love that part? Day by day, he comes to me with new assurance. More and more, I understand his words of love. I'm longing or looking for the day of his returning when someday I'll see his blessed face above. No one ever cared or cares for me like Jesus. I praise the Lord for that. Someone cares. You know what? I have a standing invitation to cast all of my cares upon him, for he careth for me. I got this one day, preacher, a little simple thing. That's about all I ever get. But one little simple thing I got one day. You know, a lot of times we pray, Lord, take my burden. Lord, take my load. But you know what God said? God said casting. You know what casting means? It means once you turn it loose and get it out of your hands, he'll put his hands on it and take it. But he's not going to come up there and snatch it away from you. Casting. I'm not ready to shout. It's not even shouting down. Casting all your care upon him. You don't have anything that bothers you but what God's concerned about. And you can cast it on him tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. I'm about to get ready to run. Amen. I praise the Lord for it. Let me make a statement that I want to read the scripture and preach. Don't minimize the value of this service. Maybe a Georgia expression, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's absolutely no telling what God wants to do in the meeting tonight. It's either last night before I went to bed or early this morning, one, the Lord dealt with my heart about preaching something. I preached from this text here before. I promise you the message will not be the same. But I preached from this scripture before. If you write in your Bible, you may have a date written down when I preached from this. But y'all sing the same songs. Amen. So I want to preach. I really want to preach what's on the heart. And I want you to let God speak to you. I tell you how personal I want it to be tonight. How many got a right hand? Kind of dangling it by your side just a moment. Come on, be a kid with me. Come on. Got a right hand. Just make a mark right down the side of you like that. How many got a left hand? Do the same thing. Now, I'm going to preach tonight only to that person between those two marks you just made. I'm not preaching to anybody else but that person between your two hands as they hang down to your side. I want you to listen, let God speak to your heart, and the Lord's will be done in the message tonight. This could be the most important message somebody has ever heard or will ever hear. Let me just say another word while I'm there. God don't have to keep coming back and speaking to us. I know we don't live in the Old Testament area, but God brought Israel to Kadesh Barnea, Brother Hall, I believe, three times. There's twice in the Scripture very plainly, you know, they did. But if you study the marking, it looks like they went by, if not to it, a third time in their wandering in the wilderness. Three times in 40 years, God brought them to a point where they could cross over. You can't cross Jordan when you're 40 miles back in the wilderness. You can't cross Jordan until God opens it. You can't make an advance with God in your spiritual life anytime you want to. You've got to do it when God's dealing with you and opening the door for you to go through it. And God may speak to somebody definitely tonight. I know he's going to. It may not come to open results here tonight, but God is going to say something to many of us tonight. And I want you to let him speak to you Be like young Samuel, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth thee. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, verse number 1, the Bible said, and Elisha the Tishbite, who was an inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this hour from God's precious word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you once again. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You've kept me there. And Lord, you have given me the joy and the victory that I have in knowing and serving you. And Father, I owe it all to you tonight. And I will lift my hands and say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. But Father, tonight as I come to this pulpit, I am aware, Lord, of my inabilities, my weaknesses, my faults, and my failures. But Lord, tonight I don't want to lean to my own understanding or my own ability tonight. Lord, I want to lean upon thee. I want to trust you, dear Lord, tonight to say through these lips of mine the message of God that you once said to each individual that's here in the service tonight. And Lord, even the things that I don't say that you won't say, I pray you'll impress them upon the mind of the listener. And do that, dear God, you want to do that needs to be done in the service tonight. Lord, would you please get our attention and speak to us, and may the will of God be done. And for all that you do, Father, I will bless you and praise you for it, dear Lord. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Please keep your Bible open to the message this evening from the Word of God. I remember several years ago I was preaching a meeting in the city of Indianapolis. And it came out on Friday night we had the meeting. And Saturday, because of some pre-planned things that could not be changed, we could not have a Saturday night service. And I go ahead and make this statement. To me, Brother Hall, out of town with nothing to do on Saturday is almost like a wasted day. I mean, you can only stand so much at Walmart. Some of you have not learned that yet, but it doesn't get old within a 24-hour period of time. But to keep from having such a long, boring day on Saturday, and I wasn't on the radio then. It's before I started the radio, and I didn't have that work to do. So I purposed in my heart, I'm going to stay up late Friday night. Well, I was in the process of reading Roy Hessen's book on my Calvary Road, and I finished it about 2 o'clock in the morning, and when I did, I went to bed thinking, man, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. And at 6 o'clock sharp, the Holy Ghost woke me up with Elijah burning in my soul and putting something with it I had never heard or read, to my knowledge, put with it before. There was a verse found in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that was given there to King Saul, where the man of God said, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. And God gave me this thought. I jumped out of my bed. I started writing. And I don't know how many messages I preached on this subject, but God gave me the thought, Elijah's story would not have been worth telling if it were not for one simple fact that's mentioned through the Scriptures. You know what that was? He obeyed God. And God began to work in my heart. I sat down that morning. There are 5 major events in the life of Elijah recorded in the Scripture. There are others, but 5 major experiences. And I wrote these down. I came back to Knoxville, Tennessee, and I preached the next week on them. But first of all, there's the brook experience. Then second, there's the barrel experience. I read about both of them tonight, and I'll deal with them briefly. Thirdly, there is the blazing experience, found in chapter number 18. You remember that story. In chapter number 19, there is the battling experience, where Elijah finds himself, can I use these words, in a state of deep depression, discouragement, and brother Hall, even defeat, to the point he prayed to die. Now, I want to just take a moment and deal with that, and I'm going to move on. You know what got him there? Are you listening to me? He moved without orders. Every other event that I mentioned tonight, God specifically told him to go and do. But God did not tell him to run from Jezebel. I want you to hear me tonight. Moving without orders can be a dangerous thing in a Christian life. You too will find yourself under a juniper tree, probably begging God to let you die and get out of the mess you're in. But then you come to chapter number 2 of 2 Kings, and the 5th experience is that banishing experience where he's raptured out. Now, all of those hold for us a significance of the importance of obeying God. Please stay with me just a moment. In the barrel experience, pardon me, in the brook experience, we learn that obedience is the key to God's provisions. In the barrel experience, we learn that obedience is the key to God's programming. I got to thinking, what would have happened, wonder, if Elijah had got there one day too late? What if he got there 2 days early? Are you with me? But obedience is the key to God's programming. On the mountaintop, we learn obedience is the key to get your prayers answered. Power of God in prayer. Oh, in the juniper tree story in chapter number 19, we learn obedience is the key to having God's peace. And then we learn in chapter number 2, 2 Kings, obedience is a key. I'm pulling out of here in the right manner. And I do want to live right, but I want to leave right as well. So I began to work on this study of obedience. And obedience is a key to the Spirit-filled life. Obedience is a key to getting your prayers answered. Obedience is a key. You just name it. Obedience is all in all in our Christian life with God. God is not looking for suggestions and is not looking for information, but He is looking for obedience. Now, with all that said, I want to give you this one thought, and then I want to preach a while tonight. I have considered barely what I'm fixing to say. Sometimes we get up and say things off the top of our head. I am not speaking off the top of my head. I'm speaking from my heart and much thinking of what I'm about to say. If I had one opportunity to make one statement to you and never speak to you again until I see you at the judgment seat of Christ, here's what I'd say. Learn to obey every minute detail of God's directions on your life. Can I make this statement? There is no such thing as a small thing when God is bidding you do something. Now, in the eyes of men, we have big things and little things. And you know what I find among we Baptists? If God were to give us big orders where everybody would notice it, we'd do it quickly. But you know what I found out, Brother Hall? God does not give big orders till we learn to carry out little orders. God does not teach us with big things. He teaches us with small things until we come to the place of proving ourselves with small things. And then when God sees that He can trust us to be obedient with small details, He gives us larger detail in the work of God. So if I had to sit down with one statement and never speak to you again tonight, I'd say to you, learn to listen and obey every detail of God's leadership and direction on your life. Let me make one more statement. I come to Scripture and preach. God has never spoke to you about anything of no importance. I don't care how small it may seem, how insignificant it may seem. If God's talking, He deserves and it demands our utmost attention and obedience to Him. Now, in the story before us tonight, I want to look at both of these briefly, Lord willing. But I want to preach tonight on the subject, obedience is the key to God's provision. I'm going to pull that out of both of these and share three thoughts with you tonight from each story as the Holy Spirit directs us. This outline is so simple, Brother Hall could preach it. Amen. Write it down and work on it. Get anointed and preach it. But I want to talk, first of all, about the orders. And number two, by the way, let me just say this, lest I forget it later. God does give specific orders. God's not a God of mysteries and mystics to leave you hanging in the dark about what He wants. If He doesn't reveal it clearly to you, it's not God's will yet. Amen. God don't want you taking a leap in the dark. I'm hung up right here, preacher. I'll go on in just a moment. But God gives specific orders. In verse number 2, 3, and 4, you have orders given to Elijah concerning the brook experience. Notice him. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook, the Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, give me your attention up here just a moment. Three things in the orders I want you to notice. First of all, there is a proclamation. God said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. Now, you know what Stinnett Rue thinks about that? My thought would be, what in the world could be the spiritual significance of such a small statement? Can I put it in our language? Get up, get out of here, head east. And there's a place over there by the creek. I want you to hide yourself. Do you know what I want to say? Lord, what's that got to do with the famine? Our job is not to question why and what. Our job is to obey. But God said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. Now, what number two, watch this, don't miss it. Now, oh, there's a proclamation, but there is a place. God did not just say, go hide. And I want to tell you, you better get beyond the thinking that anywhere's all right as long as your intentions are good. God said there's a place over there that's by the brook Cherith that's on the other side of Jordan. And if you'll get there, the ravens will feed you. God said to Elijah, I'm changing your address. From now on, your mail will be delivered at post office box T-H-E-R-E. And if you get there, Elijah, the mail will run. But if you don't get there, Elijah, the mail will run anyway. You'll just miss delivery. And by the way, God's mail still runs regular. If Elijah had been a quarter mile up the creek, down the creek, off the creek, away from the creek, he'd have missed it all. But the ravens would still have run and obeyed God.
Amen.
But you know what I'm trying to say to you tonight? Are you ready for this statement? God has a there for every saved person. There is a there for you. And I ask you the question tonight, and I hope you don't ever get over this, even after you get it settled. I hope you don't forget the question. I ask you tonight, are you there? Are you residing spiritually at the address God planned for you? Now watch for just a moment. This may be childish, but it's got an impact. If you'll let it impact you, that'll help you on down the road. For many of you, Brother Hall, for many of these people, and probably for you too, the plan of God, the there that God wants most of these people to be geographically is here. God is not going to call most of these people to Germany or Africa. Are you with me? But you know, I got to look at this, Brother Stephen. This is simple. We can all get a hold of this. You know, there's an easy way of changing here to there. In your mind, look at the word H-E-R-E, here. You know how to change here to there? Put the cross in front of it. Just take up your cross and carry it for God. And your here becomes your there. And it is just as important that you serve God here as it is that somebody else serve God on a foreign field, if that be God's there for you. There are no little places of service. There are no insignificant places of service. Everybody cannot be the pastor. Everybody cannot be the missionary. Everybody cannot be the evangelist. Everybody cannot be up front. Everybody cannot play the music. Everybody cannot sing. But I want to tell you something. If all was in this building is what you see in the door as being a beautiful building, it wouldn't stand much storms. There's a structure behind the sheetrock, the panel. Every one of us are part of God's building, and God fitly frames us together to make the house of God what it ought to be for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has no chiefs and little Indians. We're all saints and fellow servants in the work of God. So God said to Elijah, he said, there's a proclamation, get thee hence, turn the east one, and there's a place. I want you to hide yourself there. But then I want you to notice this. There's a provision. God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, Brother Jerome, I preached this for years before I caught it. I'm slow on some things. But God said, did he say, yes, sir? God said, I have commanded.
Amen.
If you hadn't figured out what I'm saying, he didn't say, I'm going to command. God said he talked to the ravens before he talked to Elijah.
Amen.
I want to tell you a great lesson to learn is God has never issued orders and said to us, go home and take a half a baby aspirin every night and go to bed and go to sleep and call me in 2 weeks. I've got to figure out how to finance this.
Right.
God has never said, I've got to raise up somebody to pay the bill. Before God ever issues orders, God is already going ahead of us and made provision for whatever God wants in our life.
Amen.
I like the story in Genesis chapter number 22, where God told Abraham to go offer up Isaac. And as a younger man years ago, I heard what we just call a mountain preacher preaching on that. And he said, when Abraham and Isaac started up one side of the mountain, he said, God went over on the other side of the mountain, punched a goat in the ribs and said, climb that hill, boy. He went through a long, drawn-out story. He said that goat had stopped and eaten, nibbled on, and he said, God would punch him again. Get on! You've got to get ahead of him! You know the story if you know your Bible. God had the ram waiting, tied in the bushes, by his horns, tied in the vines by his horns, just waiting for Abraham to get there. Can I tell you something? Everything that God wants you to do, can I say it in our language? God's got the money in the bank to do it if you'll obey God. I'm telling you, God does not issue orders without He makes provisions for what He wants us to do. Let me borrow your mind just a moment. And I heard another one of the mountain preachers say this, and I like to tell it because I like to watch people's reaction when I say it. In the Bible, there's a donkey, got sick, about to die. I like to watch people look when I say that. You're trying to figure out where in the world it is. And I'm still in the King James Bible. And the mountain preacher said it the way. He said, that donkey's walking across the field. And he said, I feel bad. I feel like I'm going to die. I'm going to lay down and die. He said, about the time a donkey started down, God said, donkey, get up and walk on. You can't die here. Donkey started walking on, and he said to himself, you know, I feel better. I believe I'll live. And about time he said, I believe I'll live, God said, die, donkey. And donkey fell dead. Remind me next year, I'll tell you where that's at in the King James Bible. You know what it is? God knew Samson was going to get cornered with 1,000 Philistines and need a club. And if that donkey had died a quarter mile in the wrong place, old Sampy would have been soupy.
Amen. Amen.
The wow says coincidence, but Christian say providence. The wow says good luck, but Christian says a good Lord. God had what He needed when Samson got there and the Philistines got there. Them bowers are club. I'm telling you, God has provisions for our Thursdays, our Fridays, our Saturdays, where I'm at, our Sundays before we finish our Saturday. God never issues orders and tells you to wait till I figure out how to pay the bill. Proclamation, place, provision. Now, second look at the orders, verse number 5. Now, I don't want to get over your head. You've got to be a deep Greek scholar to figure this one out, Brother Hall. In verse number 5, the Bible said he went and did. Now, I read the Kentucky version of that, and the Kentucky version said he took and went and did. In Georgia, we say, he done went and done it.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. You can get with the profoundest scholar that you'll ever meet in your lifetime. You can never find a better definition of obedience.
Amen.
Than for God to say, he went and did. According to the saying of the Lord. When I discovered this in the Scripture, I said to my wife, honey, if I finish the course on course, and I plan to, but I want to be aware of the fact I am capable of falling. But I said to her, Brother Hall, if I finish on course, I know of no greater epitaph to put on my tombstone than to put, he went and did according to the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and God say, he went and did according to the word of the Lord? Watch me just a moment to what it means. He got up, had it eased. Cross the Jordan River, turn north, and found the brook Cherith, and set up camp.
Yes,
in my mind, and I know I'm being stretching my imagination, but I can't preach with your imagination. But he gets into that area, Brother Hall, and he starts looking at them trees for a few post office box number. And finally, he finds one that says T H E R E. He stops, unpacks his bag, gets his napkin, goes down, finds him a rock, gets him a glass of water, and looks up toward heaven and says, supper, Lord.
Amen.
You know what the outcome was? God invented the first catering service. I believe he probably named it Raving Cuisine. Elijah. Now, I don't know how a raven sounds in the Bible, but I know how a crow sounds. All of a sudden, in the distance, Elijah hears a cow, cow.
even flies in
with bread and flesh and Worcestershire sauce. It flies out. Can you imagine the devil putting thoughts in Elijah's mind? Like accident. Like, you don't think this will happen again now. I was in Greer, South Carolina. I went down to a flea marketplace. There's a man down there back years ago who used to have old scriptural books, commentaries and things. And I went down there on that Saturday. I was down there in a meeting. I went down there and I found a book that was about the size of my Bible, maybe not hardly as big as my Bible. It was so old that it had red duct tape on the back, and handwritten on it, it said Elijah. Written in 1800 and something. I got the book. I went to the motel room and started reading. You know how it is in books. You can't do all that stuff up front. So I jumped right over here in the middle of Elijah's life. And it said a lot of good things. And then I read something that got my attention. It said, now, the Bible does not say this meat was cooked. And he said, since this was a meat eating vulture, he could possibly have flown over Elijah's cap and accidentally dropped a piece of meat. My first thought was, if that's true, there are going to be a lot of accidents. That old bird's going to have a lot of accidents in the next 3 years. And then my second thought was, you know, if God wants to let his preacher have a cookout down on the creek bank, it ain't none of nobody's business. But then Brother Hall had this thought. I can see that bird carrying uncooked meat. But that old bird's going to have a hard time carrying uncooked cornbread. I believe the bread was cooked and the steak was cooked just like he liked it. It flew off. Next morning, Elijah got up, went down there, got him some water, maybe washed his face, got his napkin out, and said, breakfast, Lord. Cow! 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 Same thing. Morning, night, morning, night. Morning, night. I should be saying, I believe the Bible said morning, evening. Morning, evening. You say, how long that happened, preacher? As long as God wanted him to stay in that spot. And you see, what's God trying to do? Watch this. God is trying to teach Elijah and teach us through this story that God is sovereign. Don't let that bother you. God is in control. God is not governed by circumstances and situations. He's God. He can do what he wants to, when he wants to, and use who he chooses to accomplish what he pleases in the work of God. Number one, God wants Elijah to know he's sovereign over the brook. He can make it run as long as he wants him to stay there. Number two, he's wanting to know he's sovereign over the bread. He knows where the bread is. He's sovereign over the beef. He knows where the meat is. He's even sovereign over that bird. I like what one fellow said. He said, God just programmed that raven's computer. But Steve, for pick up and delivery. Pick up and delivery. Pick up and delivery. Pick up and delivery. You said, preacher, where did you get that meat? Where the meat is? See, I don't know where the meat is, but God does. Your job is not worry about where the meat's coming from. Your job is to get T-H-E-R-E. Now let me drop that and move to number two. Notice in your Bible again in verse number 9, the same three thoughts. The Bible said, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, here's his orders, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Look at me just a moment. Proclamation. Arise, get, dwell. Three verbs, just like we saw before. Notice the place. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. As a matter of fact, if you notice in verse number 9, God said, get me to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell. God said, I'm not going to change your post office box number. I'll just let you keep the same address. In the work of God, when you get there, you may change your geographic location, but you don't ever change your spiritual location with God. Amen. Right. As much God here as he's going to be over there, here's going to be as much God over there as he is here. I'm telling you, when the relationship is right with God, then there is continually in your life. But notice not only there's a proclamation, there's a place, but there's a provision. He said, I have commanded. Past tense. And what God said? God said, in essence, I sent a prep crew of me.
I went on before you to Zarephath. I found the widow woman, and I've instructed her to feed you through the famine.
Can I make the statement again? God never issues orders to go until God has all the provisions worked out. I can say to any missionary, and I think most of our missionaries or all missionaries are going tonight, but the moment, Brother Hall, before God ever calls a missionary, when God calls a missionary, he don't have to raise up new churches to take that missionary on. He's already got them churches out there. Before God ever calls a missionary, he knows how much it's going to cost. He knows who's going to give it. Come on. The older I get, the more I find out God's a pretty smart fella. I mean, he knows a whole bunch of things. And God's got it all in order. When we get there, we'll find that God has been ahead of us and made all necessary arrangements for everything to be taken care of for us when we get there. Arise, get to the Zarephath, and dwell there. And he said, it belongs to Zidon. And he said, I commanded the woman to sustain thee there. Now look at the one of disobedience, verse number 10. Very simple. The Bible said, so he rose and went. You know what his obedience was? He left his place beyond Jordan over there by Cherith, comes back across the Jordan River, heads out up the north end of the kingdom there of Israel to the country of Zidon and to the city of Zarephath. But I want you to watch something now. Please watch me just a moment. Oh, if I can get you to see what I'm fixing to say. Here's why obedience is so important. It's not only important for provision. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to stay with that. But I'm going to make this point. Obedience is the key of God getting two people together for the right and same purpose at the same time. I mention this again. What if Elijah had arrived one day late? What if he'd have showed up a week early? She wouldn't have given. There wouldn't have been no last meal. There'd have been plenty of meal. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It's terrible dangerous. It's almost spiritual suicide to get ahead of God or to get behind God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and when they are, God will put together what He wants together in His own timing. Purpose and place. Now watch this just a moment. I do not know for sure, but somewhere I picked this up, and it's in the area at least of being close. But the hall, it probably took Elijah, if he walked normally, it would have probably took him in the area of 3 days to come across Jordan, back over toward Jerusalem, up the Nazareth, and up the upper end of just normal walk. 3 days. I know God could have made him make it in one day. He could cut him up there in 30 minutes. He won't do that. I'm talking about normal walking, which I believe is what took place. Brother Doug, this blows my mind. God knew how fast for Elijah to walk. God knew when for him to get tired and sit down and rest a little while. God knew when he needed a nap. And God knew how long to let him sleep. And God knew when to wake him up. You say, now, Brother Blue, God is not interested in those little... God is. He's sovereign over it all. There could even been some times... Can I use my imagination? Brother Hubble, there might have been some times Elijah said, you know... See, God knew he was getting behind. Elijah didn't know it. But God, Elijah said, you know, man, I am running a while. I think I'll ride a piece. I'm saying if you will let God, He will get you there in the right place at the right time. But watch this. When you move in obedience to God, God's not only working on your end of the line.
Yes, sir.
He's working on the other end of the line.
Amen.
Now watch me just a moment. You see, inside the gates of Zarephath is a heathen woman. Can I make this statement? She's a type of a sinner. She's not a type of a Christian. She's a Gentile. She don't know God. And don't you say nothing about what I'm fixing to say against me, because it's true. God can handle them sinners too.
Amen.
There ain't no problem with that. Let me bring you on her side of the story. One day God comes through town and says to her, I'm going to send a preacher by, and I want you to feed him. And she volunteered to feed the preacher. You say, now why in the world would she do that? Hey, you don't got to be too smart. I don't want no dead woman cooking my cornbread. If she's going to feed that preacher, that means she's going to live herself. You can go down to the funeral home and let one of them corpses cook your bread if you want to, but I'm just going to McDonald's.
Amen.
It was her assurance.
Right.
You see, by her obeying God, God's not going to feed the prophet. God's going to take care of her, so she readily agreed.
Amen.
But when she did, preacher, there's quite a bit of meal in the barrel.
Right.
But Elijah didn't show up. One day, it's like she's getting the meal out of the barrel, and she reaches down into the meal barrel. And ladies, you'd understand this if you're old enough to remember the old meal barrel. She felt her fingernails touch the body. Are you with me? Can I sit? Not much left anymore. I believe when I got down there, Brother Steve, I probably said, let's kind of slow this thing down. We'll just eat one time a day now instead of two. We'll prolong it. One day, ladies, listen to me, especially your mothers. She looks in that meal barrel and there's a handful of meal. One more piece of bread between me and my son and starvation. Now, I can't speak for her, Brother Doug, but I tell you what my thinking would be. I think I'll wait till tomorrow. I'm going to stretch it out as far as I can. She's sitting in the house sometime in this episode, and she has what she thinks is a thought. I'm glad God can control the thoughts not only of saints, but God can control the thoughts of sinners.
Amen.
You know what her thought was? Why wait? Can I put it in Kentucky language? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm tired of waiting. It's not going to happen. That man's not going to get here. I'm going to go get me some wood. I'm going to make me a fire. And I'm going to cook this bread and we'll eat it and die. But all in the world God was doing was trying to get her. Look at your Bible. You've got to see this in your Bible. In verse number 10, the Bible said, so he rose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the city. Behold, the widow woman was there. When you start toward there, God will start somebody else toward there. Watch me now. They meet. Are you with me? Look this way if you're not reading or not writing. When they arrive, they do not know each other. Now, there were markings of the clothing of the prophet, Brother Hall, but I don't know if she knew about those, and I don't know if Elijah had that on. But anyway, I want to make this statement. You may not know intellectually when you get in the right place and connect with the right person. But the Holy Ghost will give identity quickly. That's Him. That's Him. That's Him. And so they meet. Now, it begins with a conversation like this in the latter part of verse number 10. The Bible said, He said to her, I pray that fetch me a little water in the vessel. Watch me just a moment. In the land of the Bible, there are public drinking places. We all know of Jacob's well. There's Elijah's springs. There's other places. But you see, water would have been as precious or more precious than food in a famine. So the custom was, you walk through a place in that dry, arid part of the country where there was no public drinking water. You stopped at somebody's house and you asked for a drink of water. So it was not unusual for this Jew to ask of that Gentile a drink of water. So he calls to the lady that said, ma'am, would you fix me a glass of water? And she said, yes, and water's going to get it. She's going to get it. That's like Elijah said, ma'am, wait a minute. Bring me a piece of bread. Are you bringing that water? When he asked for water, nothing clicked. Because that was not an ordinary But when that Jew asked that Gentile woman for a piece of bread, hope clicked in her soul. Him asking me bread? Could it be? Reckon it is? If you've never been to the place where God brought you to the point I'm dealing with tonight, you don't understand. But I'm telling you, it gets exciting, Brother Hall, when you feel down in your soul, God's making a connection and God is bringing it through. And you realize it's got to be God doing this. And then she gets her orders. But before I do that, I want to just give you this real quick and I've got to move and close it then. There's the orders, there's your meeting, there's the outcome. And you know what the outcome was? She fed him the rest of the famine.
Amen. Amen.
But now then, let me tell you what the real outcome was. Are you ready for this? His obedience opened the door for her obedience. She could not do what God told her to do until he had done what God told him to do. You're talking about a scary thing to this preacher's soul.
Amen.
Brother Hall, I wonder how many people are sitting waiting with step two that they cannot do until I finish step one. Am I making sense? You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
How many people has God told to do something, but they can't do that until after you do that? Let me throw out just a quick illustration to help you understand. God calls missionaries to go to the field and they surrender to go. But they cannot go until churches give money. So they cannot do what God called them to do until we do what God tells us to do.
Amen.
But I'm talking about a lot more than money right now.
Right.
Who may be waiting on you? I'm telling you, if we could see God sitting up in heaven looking down, Elijah coming in one, her coming in the other. In August 1985, I preached a 15-minute message at Faith Baptist Camp. Brother Ben Andrews, I believe you support Brother Andrews. Probably, you may not, you do support him. I thought you did. Brother Ben Andrews was there, already surrendered to preach. Brother Ben Andrews, Brother Mickey Hoyle left that meeting, had to go up to Chattanooga, and coming back down Interstate 75, Brother Andrews looked over at Brother Hoyle and said to him, "Preacher, and I preached on saying don't make it so out of 1 John. But Andrew said to Brother Hall, can a man really know he's saved? And Brother Hall said, sure. And he said, pull this car off here and show me how I can know I'm saved. And he got saved on the side of 85 where you now exit to come over to the camp going south on 75. That same week, are you listening to me? Could have even been the same day, but that same week, in Papua New Guinea on the mainland, there is a man who is employed by the postal service. He and his wife are Christians. She's more devout than he is. And he gets his orders from the government. You've got to move to one of the out islands called Britain Islands and operate the postal service out there. Are you listening to me? They moved out there. There was a Seventh-day Adventist. There was a Catholic. There was Mormons, there were several different religions out there, but there was no Baptist church. So she started inquiring about where to go to church. They told her, said, you just got to change your religion. That's all the world's got anyway, religion, you know. She said, I'm not going to change. If God sent us here, then God can send us a Baptist preacher to the Britain Islands. That same week they're moving, God is saving Ben Andrews.
Amen.
15 years later, Ben Andrews is trained and prepared and matured, and God calls him to the island, Papua New Guinea. And when he arrives, he's met with two missionaries, and they're looking, you know, where to start. And those missionaries said, we got a place to take you. And it probably was national preachers instead of missionaries. They got Brother Ben and they took him to New Britain Island. Went up and knocked on this lady whom they just knew was a Christian. They didn't know what she had been praying. But they walked up to her and said to her, ma'am, here's your missionary.
Amen.
And she started shouting and told the story. She had been praying at that time about 17 years for God to send her a missionary. Now there's a good, strong church going there in that town. And Brother Andrews has three or four other churches going as well. I'm telling you, can I say it? Please, I don't want to sound light when I say this, but God's a whole lot smarter than we think He is. The older I get, it's not He's getting smarter, it's just I understand it better, I guess, Brother Hall. But I'm telling you, when we obey God, when we get there, God will get somebody else there, and God can put it together.
Amen.
But there's her orders now. What's this? He said to her, look at verse number 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall a cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Watch me just a moment. Look at me just a moment. Her orders. You go back to their meal barrel. Get all the meal out. And build a fire. And make a piece of bread. And bring it to me first. And then after, go back and make for you and your son. What's the promise? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal will not waste, and the cruse of oil will not fail, until the day that God sends rain upon the earth. Watch her obedience. You know what she did? The Bible said, verse number 15, so she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah. Watch me just a moment. She goes in there, gets her meal barrel and her mixing bowl. She dumps it all out. She gets the oil, the cruise of oil. And I like to prowl in pulpits. It's always amazing what you see. My goodness. And about that time, the devil said, woman, you're not going to give that last piece of bread to that preacher, are you? Woman, think of your boy. I don't have time to build a fire, so I want to turn the grill on. What's this? Flips it. Browns it, puts it in the plate, and goes and serves the man of God. He said, thank you, ma'am. Now go cook for you and your boy. But I'm going to tell you, the whole time she's cooking this, the devil has said, woman, you're crazy. You ain't not going to think of your children. But you know what she's doing? She's remembering God told her. And if God gives you orders when there's plenty of meal in the barrel, He don't change them when you're down to the last handful.
Amen. Amen.
She could say to the devil, all I know is God told me to feed the man of God through the famine. If I don't, we're fixing to die. If I feed him and we die anyway, we'll just die a day quicker. And I think she might have thrown this up in the devil's face, Brother Steve. I think she might have said to the devil, said, and by the way, when God said, make me one first, when God demands first, you can rest assured, there are seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths. God knows how to count beyond one. Elijah said, now go back in there and fix for you and your boy. She runs in there, looks at me, hey, more nothing. I just add some more. And she puts the oil in there, stirs it up, turns the grill on. One, two. Are you with me? That's mama and son. Can you imagine trying to go to sleep that night? I don't know what that woman did. But Brother Steve, I'll tell you what I'd have done. When the prophet got going to the prophet's quarter and I got my boy in bed asleep, I'd have snuck in that kitchen. To see if there's any meal in the barrel. If she did, there was none. You say, why? It's not breakfast time yet. But I promise you one thing. This dear lady did not have to have an alarm clock get her up the next morning.
Amen.
don't even think the roosters woke her up. She probably woke the roosters up. She went sneaking in that kitchen early the next morning, looking at meal bounds almost in there, and she probably said, "Whoop-a-doo!" Dumped it in there. Got the oil cruise. Dumped it in there. Stirred it up. Turned the grill on. 1, 2, 3. Elijah, her boy, and her. Week after week and month after month, she would never have even had to look in the bathroom. She could go in that kitchen blindfolded, Brother Hall. Just took the meal barrel, turned it upside down, and umped it all out. And then took the oil cruise, put it all in there, stirred it up, turned it on, poured it out. And God would have given the hot rise. I mean the increase. I mean the hot rise. You know what happened? Verse number 5, he went and did. Verse number 10, he went and did. But verse number 15, Brother Hall, she went and did. Don't miss the statement I'm about to make. You never know what you're wenting and doing will have influence on somebody else to get them to want to go and do. This is rather lighthearted what I'm saying tonight, but it makes the point anyway. There were two men in this church last night, if I understood right, had never run that run last night. And one of them said about the other, "If he runs, I'm going to run." And that same one said about him, "If he runs, I'm going to run." And it exploded last night, and both of them run, didn't even know the other was running, but it was over with. Or let's start at least. You never know who is sitting, waiting on you to make your move. Some people, Brother Hall, are not leaders. They're more followers, and they won't make that first move. But boy, if God gets one to make the right move, He'll use that to prompt others. I got to close. Let me give you this. For just a closing thought. I want you to imagine just a moment, Elijah is a missionary. The widow woman's a type of the church. Can I make this statement first? There was only one reason for this widow woman living through this famine. You know what it was? Take care of the need of the man of God. With the message of God. You know, there's only one purpose for the church remaining on earth tonight. I know that's a big statement. But we can do everything we're doing, Brother Bill, in the millennial and in heaven. But get the message of God out. The man of God with a message to a lost and dying world. The only purpose of God leaving the church on here is to send out men and keep them going with the message of God. But you better watch this. Watch me now. Don't miss this. It would be possible, and I pray it never happens here, and I don't think it will, under especially the present leadership, and I'm not looking for him to go anywhere, but churches do get the attitude, Brother Hall. Boy, them missionaries better thank God for us. If it wasn't for us, they'd starve. There's an element of truth. Missionaries ought to thank God for their supporting churches. But I done read the story. This woman was dying if Elijah hadn't come back. I have written in my Bible, God said, "I've commanded the widow woman to sustain thee there." I have written in my Bible who sustained who. I'm not disputing what the Bible said. She did sustain him, but I remind you, she's about to die. And so in reality, it's she sustained him, but he sustained her. But in reality, God sustained them both because both went and did according to this word of the Lord. I want to tell you something. I shudder to think what would happen to Island Ford Baptist Church if all of a sudden you decided we don't need them missionaries. God will ride Ichabod over the door. The church would die. The purpose of this church and every church that belongs to the Lord for existing is to get the materials to the man of God with the message of God. So he can keep heralding out the story. Jesus saves. You say, preacher, we cannot afford to do that. The honest truth is you cannot afford not to. I close with this thought. This will be something you can sleep on tonight. Brother Hall, you know what happened when he obeyed God and she obeyed God? God put them both on cruise control. And he took care of everything that was needed to sustain them through the famine. Now, I've not run and we've not shouted and you've not run, but I'm telling you, for some of you who have just heard one of the most important messages of your life. Learn to obey every minute detail of God's direction in your life. Can I throw out one more warning? Oh, you better hear this, old preacher. Don't develop your own orders.
Amen.
Don't say God told me to do when God's not told you to do. God's orders will never be fuzzy. They'll be clear when it's God's timing and God's will. But learn to have open ears toward God for any direction, any instruction, and then be ready to move at God's impressions on your life. I remind you, as you face faith promise tomorrow, they're missionaries. It's already been called. They're already surrendered. That's waiting on support to go. They cannot go do what God called them to do until you, as a member of the church. You say, well, why don't our church take them on? The church can't do what God tells it to do until you do what God told you to do. Start giving the missions or give as God leads you to. See what I'm saying? Somebody's waiting on you. There's people waiting on the field that will be saved when the missionary gets there. But they can't be saved if somebody gets there with the message of God. This thing is not just Thin It Blue and me and my little circle. We're a link in the chain. We're a cog in the wheel. We're part of a team. We're laborers together. But in this particular area, it starts with us, and nobody else can do what God's telling them to do until you and I do what God has told us to do. There's nothing too small for you to take it seriously when it comes to God. And there's nothing too big for you to take it any less. Ask God what He wants you to do. And don't worry about anybody else but yourself. Do what God says to. And when you do that, God will put the whole thing together. And you'll live through the famine, and they'll live through the famine, and together God will be glorified in the work of God. Let's stand together. I preach long again tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, our musicians are coming. The secret of God's provision is learning to obey every small detail of God's leadership and direction on your life. I believe if you walk in the light that God's given you, then God will give you more light. I hope you don't miss this statement. Why should God issue you second orders when you're not obeying first orders? I'm not asking you to surrender to be a missionary unless God is. I'm not asking you to surrender to preach unless God is. I'm talking to church members. I'm talking about people, to people who will never probably go anywhere but right here and serve God right here. But it's just as important that you obey God here in this local church as it is any missionary that you support. Obey God on the foreign field. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the very atmosphere of the meeting. Lord, it was not dead, and I hope it was not dry. And but dear Lord, and it was not shouting it out where we went through it without the message speaking to us. Oh God, tonight I pray in Jesus' name, impress upon every saved person here the importance of obeying every small detail of God's direction for our lives. Lord, even those who listen by the radio tonight, work in their lives. Help us to realize it's not our game plan. It's not our ideas. It's not our desires. But it's your command. And it's our obedience that opens God's storehouse of provisions for the work of God. There may be somebody here, Lord, tonight whom you are speaking to about surrendering to serve. Not just giving them money in the offering plate, but putting themselves in the offering plate and giving themselves to God. Help us, dear Lord, to hear the message of God clearly, the orders clearly. And then, dear Lord, with confidence, help us to say, yes, Lord, at your orders, I'm going to move in obedience to the Word of God. Do what you wanted to do, what needs to be done. I'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Several in the altar praying. Do you need to join them? Do you need to come? Do you need to come? Be obedient to God. To God. I wonder who's waiting on you. It's amazing, Brother Hall, nobody ever decided to support the radio work of Harvest Time Broadcast until I started obeying God and started radio. Brother Hall, it's such a fearful thing. I never thought much about it when you said that to me. You first said about over there in that restaurant where we ate dinner today. Me and you and Brother Dale Manning sitting over there, and you mentioned me about that. But what if you hadn't obeyed God that morning about Brother Bluesome Radio Time? That preacher down yonder in Georgia that started raising funds is out of the ministry. But what if that young preacher hadn't got up there and started raising funds to buy recording equipment for Harvest Time? Letters have come in from far and wide. Support's come in. I stand amazed at what God's doing. I'm not bragging at all on Stinnett Blue. But it would have never happened if your pastor and another pastor and myself had not obeyed God. Lord, I'm standing tonight in a fearful position. I don't know much, but I do know you, and I do know when you're speaking. Lord, I have no earthly idea who is in this service tonight that was waiting for the word from God that they've got this evening. I'm so glad, dear Lord, that you gave me grace to step over my religious pride and change plans and preach your message tonight. And Lord, if nobody ever makes an open move, an open statement about anything that God spoke to them about tonight, I get down to that motel room, Lord, I'll pillow my head on that bed and go to sleep confident. As I lay there and talk to you, that I can look up to heaven and say, Lord, I went and did according to the word of the Lord. I've done what you told me to do. Lord, the results is in your hands. Do what you want to do. Do whatever needs to be done. Lord, I may never know the fruit of this message until I come to the judgment seat of Christ. And dear Lord, even the fruit of this message might not even be in this building. It may be out there with the radio. But tonight, you're issuing orders to somebody. Clear orders. And Lord, if they don't get the whole picture tonight, you will reveal the whole picture to them before long and give them clear directions for God's leadership of their life. Help them not to get ahead of you. But once they have the orders, help them not to delay or disobey, but to obey. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother, let's sing a verse. Pastor, you come on, won't you? Whatever you want to.
Brother George,
157. I don't have any doubt in my mind that we heard exactly what God wanted us to hear tonight.
Amen.
The question is, what do we intend to do with what we heard? Are we going to be obedient to what we've heard or disobedient to it? There's only two ways we can go. There's no middle of the road. There's two ways. I trust God will lead us to take that right direction. What are we saying, Brother George?
157.
Let's sing right out. 157.
Statement, and I'm through. I want to make this statement. Don't generate your own orders.
Amen.
Don't take the ideal, I know I'm supposed to do something, so, and manufacture your own orders. Get them from God.
Yes.
And they'll be right. And God will provide when you obey God.
Yes.
All right, let's sing that second verse. Has God spoken to your heart tonight?
Yes.
Have you obeyed the Lord? Appreciate that good preaching tonight. Appreciate you being here.